Welcome to Torah Dimeachah Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenhoft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei Yamim Bet, Parak Chavtet. Chapter 29 is the first of three chapters about Chizkiyahu, king of Malchut Yehuda. In Divrei Yamim Bet, he is called Yechizkiyahu, with a yud at the beginning of his name. In all other parallel accounts, in Melachim Bet, in Yeshayahu, or the sages in the Midrash and the Talmud, refer to him without the yud in his name. I'm going to refer to him by the more common form of his name, Chizkiyahu, without the yud. We are told in verse 2, Vayas ha'yashar be'inei Hashem, gachol asher asa David aviv. He did that which was right in the eyes of Hashem, according to all that David, his father, had done. The way this pasuk is written is unique to Chizkiyahu. Previous righteous kings we have learned about, like Asa and Yehoshaphat, were written about positively, but none as completely as our pasuk. Chizkiyahu is different and special, and we will learn the many ways that this is true. His first act as king in the month of Nisan was to open the doors of the Beit HaMikdash and repair them. Thus, he was undoing what his father Ahaz did at the end of his reign. He brought the priests and the Levites and assembled them in the Eastern Plaza and said to them, Shma'uni Alevim, Atahi Kachu v'kichu Beit Hashem Elokei Avoseichem, v'hotsiu et hanida min HaMikdash. He said to them, listen to me, Levites, sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of the eternal God of your ancestors. Take out the abomination from the sanctuary. He continued, for our fathers dealt falsely and did evil in the eyes of Hashem and turned away from him. They averted their faces from Hashem's dwelling place and turned their backs. They also closed the doors of the hall, extinguished the lamps, did not burn incense, did not offer burnt offerings in the sanctuary of the God of Israel. So Hashem became angry with Judah and Jerusalem, and caused them to become an object of horror, appallment, and hissing, as you can see with your eyes. For behold, our fathers have fallen by the word, and our sons and daughters and our wives are even now in captivity. He concludes by saying, Ata im levavi lichro brit l'Hashem elokei Israel, v'yashov mimenu charon apo. Now I wish to make a covenant with Hashem, the God of Israel, whose rage may hopefully be withdrawn from us. Bni ata al tishalu, kivachem b'char Hashem la'mo lefanav l'sharto, v'liyot lo mishartim u'makatrim. Now, my sons, do not be apathetic, for Hashem chose you to stand before him and serve him and to be his servants and those who burnt offerings to him. Then the leaders of the Levites rose, and gathering their brothers, they sanctified themselves and came by a command of the king concerning Hashem in order to purify the house of Hashem. The priests came to the inner part of Hashem's house in order to purify it, and they brought out all the impurity, the various idols and the like that they found in the sanctuary, and they brought it into the courtyard of the house of Hashem. They smashed the idols, cleared them out of the sanctuary of the courtyard, and the Levites took it to carry it to the Kidron Valley. Geographically, the Kidron Valley separates Jerusalem and the Temple Mount from Har HaZeisim, the Mount of Olives. Symbolically, it marks the line between the holiness of the Mikdash and the outer world, making it a natural site for removing impurity. This made the valley a ritual dumping ground for spiritual contamination. They began on the first day of Nisan to sanctify the Levites, and on the eighth day of Nisan, they came to the Hall of Hashem. They cleansed Hashem's house for 8 days and finished on the 16th day. They came inside the palace of Chizkiyahu and said, we have purified all of Hashem's house, the altar of the burnt offering and all its vessels. We have restored and sanctified all the vessels that King Ahaz neglected during his reign because he sinned. Behold, they are before the altar of Hashem and ready for the next day's tamid service. Chizkiyahu arose early and assembled the princes of the city, and he went up to the house of the Lord. They brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, and 7 lambs as a voluntary burnt offerings that were to be burned in their entirety upon the altar, and 7 goats as a sin offering, an obligatory offering brought to atone for the sin of an individual or a community. They did this for the kingdom, for the sanctuary that was neglected and profaned, and for Judah. Chizkiyahu told the priests to offer them up on the altar of Hashem. The Malbim explains the significance of the number 7. 5 of the 12 tribes, the ones on the east bank of the Jordan, and Yisachar and Zvulun, had already been called by the Assyrians. Therefore, only 7 tribes remain, and the chiefs of those tribes each brought one of the animals. They slaughtered the cattle, and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar, and they slaughtered the rams and sprinkled the blood on the altar, and they slaughtered the lambs and sprinkled the blood on the altar. They presented the goats of the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them, since one who brings a sin offering must place his hands upon the animal and confess his sin. The priests perform the rite of a sin offering by using fingers to spread some of the blood on the altar, as is done with all sin offerings, unlike burnt offerings whose blood is sprinkled on the altar. They did this in order to atone for all Israel, for the king had said that the burnt offering and the sin offering were on behalf of all of Israel. Although Chizkiyahu, for practical purposes, ruled only over Yehuda, he felt himself responsible for all of Israel. Chizkiyahu then positioned the Levium in the house of the Lord with cymbals, lyres, and with harps, as transmitted by the prophets. The Levites stood with the musical instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. What does it mean that clay David, the musical instruments of David, were used to play the music in the Beit HaMikdash at Chizkiyahu's request? The Midrash explains that this wording means that there were instruments that only David himself had been allowed to play. How could Chizkiyahu be allowed to use them? Remember what we read in the second pasuk of the chapter. Chizkiyahu is depicted as the ideal scion of the Davidic line. We're going to explore this idea further as we continue to learn about Chizkiyahu.
Before we continue, I want to take a brief pause, just for a moment, to share something special as we approach the end of this Nachyomi cycle. Welcome to the Torah Yimecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. Mazel tov, we are just 1 week away from completing the Nachyomi cycle, a moment that belongs truly to all of us. I'd love to celebrate this milestone with you and your friends and family at one of our many Siyumim worldwide. Whether you've learned every day, join when you could, or are simply drawn to the joy of learning, you belong at this celebration. You do not need to be a Nachyomi learner to participate. This is a moment to honor learning, inspiration, and the power of women gathering around Torah and Nach wherever you are on your journey. To see our growing list of Siyumim, register, add your name to the Siyum scroll, and to support the program that has been with you every day for the past 2 years, please visit ouwomen.org/Siyum26. Thank you for letting me step into your learning for a moment. And now let's return to today's Perek and continue learning together.
Chizkiyahu said to offer up the burnt offering upon the altar. At the time that the sacrifice of the burnt offerings began, the song of Hashem began on the trumpets, and the music was played. V'chol kahal mishtachavim, v'hashir mishorer v'hachatzotrot mechatzrim, hakol ad chalot ha'ula. All the congregation prostrated themselves, the song was sung, and the trumpets were blown. All this until the end of the burnt offering. U'gechalos lahalos, karu hamelech v'chol nimtzim ito v'yishtachavu. When the offering was finished, the king and all those who were with him knelt and prostrated themselves. Chizkiyahu then told Levim to sing praises to Hashem. They praised until there was rejoicing, until the joy spread throughout the congregation, and they bowed their heads and prostrated themselves to the ground. A great feeling of joy grew out of the feeling of closeness to Hashem, which was generated by the singing of the praises. Then Chizkiyahu made a proclamation. Atam meleitem yedeichem laHashem gishu vehaviu zvachim v'todot lebeit Hashem. Now you have dedicated yourselves to the Lord. Approach and bring feast offerings and thanks offerings to the house of Hashem. The congregation brought feast offerings and thanks offerings. Verses 32-35 list the number of the various sacrifices. The chapter closes by informing us Vatikon Avodat Beit Hashem. Thus the service of the house of Hashem was set in order. This language parallels the words earlier in chapter 8 that described the completion of Shlomo's building of the Beit HaMikdash. This makes sense since Chizkiyahu was renewing the temple and making a fresh beginning. Vayismach Chizkiyahu v'chol ha'am al ha'echin ha'elokim la'am ki bepitom Hayah HaDavar. Chizkiyahu and all the people rejoiced over what God had enabled the people to accomplish because it happened so suddenly. Chizkiyahu rejoiced at the wondrous way in which the temple was so quickly set into perfect order. It was Hashem's special providence which enabled the Beit HaMikdash to be rededicated so soon. The events of our chapter are not found in the parallel account in Melachim Bet, Kings 2. As we've learned previously, Ezra was concerned with the Davidic line and their connection to the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore it's not surprising that this is found in Divrei HaYamim. This parak is deeply inspiring. As we will see in the chapters that follow, Chizkiyahu is given a genuine opportunity to reverse the decline and set Malchut Yehuda back on a course toward the coming of Mashiach. We know that history did not ultimately unfold that way. but one can only imagine what it must have felt like to live in a moment when redemption seemed truly within reach, when the air itself was charged with possibility. May we merit the arrival of Mashiach in our time. This year is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudis Bas Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivat Zion left an indelible mark on her many students.